Here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, all right, good. How many of you came to breakfast this morning? Good, good, good for you. Good for you. Yeah, I haven't had breakfast yet. To me, it's yesterday still. Well, we are glad to be here with you. This is, if you're wondering, this is the session on telehealth in medical missions. So if this is not the class you were looking for, it's probably down the hall. But we're glad to have you. No. Welcome to those also who are joining us virtually. We are really excited to share this information with you. And I think we've been coming to this conference since 2018. So I'm just wondering, how many of you have been in one of our previous sessions before? In person or virtually? All right, cool. New friends. That's great. All right. Well, let's do some quick intros and then we'll get going. But first, the objective of this session is we're going to be talking about how we can be connecting medical missions providers virtually and globally. Again, my name is Roosevelt Fenelis, and I am with an alliance called Cross One that help with telemedicine and technology in missions. I am in my day job, build healthcare products and solutions for small, big healthcare organization, governmental organizations. So this is right in my wheelhouse. But my background for the back, before the last 12 years of building software solutions in healthcare, as I grew up in the mission field. My parents were missionaries, and we also were both recipient and providers of medical missions. So this is a world that I've grew up in and have wanted to bring my professional experience into this space. Without further ado, let me introduce my two other friends here.
Good morning. Thank you, Roosevelt. My apologies, my voice is a little out today. But my name is Hal Liu. I'm an endocrinologist and internist. And today, I'm with my brother Jeff. We're going to talk a little bit about Consult Bridge, this idea. But in my day job, I work at a digital health company that provides telehealth via chronic disease. And basically, to manage chronic diseases. And we see in the world today how telehealth can really help people and really drive health outcomes. And so that's why we're passionate about this topic. On a personal note, my wife and I had the opportunity to serve as tent makers for 8 years in Asia, and we saw from the front line how folks could benefit from telehealth. So, look forward to talking about this today. I'll turn it to Jeff.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Lee. Yeah, Hal and I have been working on Consult Bridge for the last year or two. We'll chat about it more later. But my day job is I work as a general pediatrician and pediatric hospitalist over in California. And I'm happy to be here. So just to kind of understand or know a little bit about who you guys are, how many folks here use telehealth in some capacity clinically right now? Okay, awesome. How many of you folks are students, whether it's dental student, medical student? Good. And then how many folks here are like general practitioners, whether it's like general dentistry or family medicine? Okay, good. And then how many folks are like subspecialists? Okay, great. Good, thank you. Okay, I'm going to turn it back over to Roosevelt.
So just to give you an idea of what we'll be talking about, the agenda today. So what is telehealth and its use in medical missions? We'll also be talking about data and research that either ourselves or others have conducted and passed on this topic, and also example applications of telehealth in medical missions, one of which you have just heard of as part of the group here at Consult Bridge. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercies upon us. Thank you for travel safety that you've granted all of us in this room. Lord, I pray as the conference ends today, this afternoon, that you will grant the same blessings of travels upon all of us going back home near or far. I pray, Father, that you will give us clear minds, open heart, that we will look at technology as a means to further the kingdom, and Lord, discuss in the ways that we can implement it in medical missions specifically to help reach more people for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is telehealth? A lot of time you probably heard the term telehealth and telemedicine used interchangeably. And just to kind of give technically, telemedicine is strictly the diagnosis and provision of direct care to patient via any form of information technology. Where telehealth is a more broad term that encompasses not just the clinical part of medicine, but patient records and communication methods, any form of information that you can share over information technology systems that has to do with the broader care, holistic care of a patient. So what is telehealth in medical missions? We like to say, use the term around support locally, mobilize globally. And what that means is local medical workers can mobilize globally to augment and to expand their reach in providing care. We all know that the harvest is plenty, but there's fewer in a decreasing group of workers for the harvest. So technology can fit that in that gap to help us bridge that gap if we leverage it well to be able to not only be more efficient, not only augment the local and the partners abroad, but also to reach more people with fewer workers in the field. Like I mentioned before, and I do want to emphasize in the last point here of augment, we do not advocate that technology replaces the in-the-field, in-person worker. Medicine is hands-on, and it probably will always be as such. However, many industries have leveraged technology to get better and more efficient and reach more people. Traditionally, in my line of work, we see healthcare to always be the last to adopt technology. Probably a subset of that, medical missions, is probably even further back in that train. But there are good use cases of which technology can be implemented to actually amplify, augment what you do in the field. Like I mentioned before, I've been giving this talk and trying really to rally people to understand how technology works, how technology can be used in medical missions. And I remember the years pre-COVID. So I like to think of medical telehealth and medical tech, and medical missions now as pre-COVID and post-COVID. Because the years before then, you know, we'd have this session, and sometimes it'll be full, other times it will be. But the idea of telemedicine or technology in general and medical missions was kind of like, well, we can't really do it. I don't know how we're going to. We're very busy people. Technology we don't understand. What is an EMR again, you know? Virtual consult, how's that going to work in missions? And then COVID hit, all right? And like most people around the world, missionaries also had to innovate and then come up with different ideas on how technology can actually help us continue in the years where we couldn't meet in person in most places. So post-COVID, I don't feel like it is necessary to convince people anymore that it is a good medium of providing care. But however, how can we actually make it work in our day-to-day missions? Telehealth and telemedicine information technology is not something that is new. In fact, back in the 1930s and 40s, telemedicine was actually being used in clinical settings, in psychiatric hospitals. In fact, NASA in the 1950s used telehealth to monitor They're astronauts in the 60s going out in space. So these are not new inventions. However, they have evolved. I'm not sure how you would implement a technology in the 1960s and the medical missions in 2023. But the idea has always been the same, to reach people across digital medium. One of the main issues that we have to implement telehealth in technology is that probably all of you, let me have a raise of hand for those in the room. How many of you are in the Americas? All right, about a little bit over half. How many of you are in Europe? No Europeans this morning. Okay. Africa? We have a couple. Middle East? We have one. Asia? We have a couple. Great. So the point is, you're all across the globe. In technology, in the infrastructure that you operate on, are not the same all around the world. Here in the United States, we're accustomed to a certain set of technology and of infrastructure of information technology that's been developed over many decades that allow for the healthcare system here in this country and other countries to actually be able to leverage technology. But I know some of you can very easily say, well, Roosevelt, where I work, and then many things can follow this. We don't have electricity, stable electricity, no high-speed internet. Most people don't know how to use a computer or don't have a phone. I understand. All these are barriers of entry to using technology. However, we're seeing these barriers going down quicker than before. Mobile technology has expanded globally. A lot of people who've never used a computer or a line phone now have a cell phone, a smart cell phone, in their pocket. And then there's a lot of good examples around the world how that is being used to actually help provide healthcare to people. So we see technology as an opportunity and telehealth as an opportunity for medical missions, medical missionaries to actually embrace further the kingdom. You can use it in areas such as patient healthcare records. Proper patient healthcare records can actually be leveraged to help care for those patients in a continuum, to share information with other providers, whether it's short-term mission providers, community or not. So using an electronic medical record efficiently that is right for your setting is actually a good way of providing for patients in the around the world. And also continuity of care. Here in the United States and in developing countries in the last several decades, we all know that the idea of continuity of care is actually the bedrock that we can leverage to help improve healthcare outcomes for patients. So how can we help, especially those who are in short-term medical mission, to provide certain continuity of care and follow-ups for patients to actually help them get better? I started talking about this after the earthquake in 2010. How many of you remember the earthquake in 2010? Well, in natural disasters, you get an influx of providers, of healthcare workers, missionaries, and others who shows up and spend a good number of time providing high-quality care, much-needed care, surgery on the side of the road or in a mercy ship or all kinds of interventions in the midst of the chaos. But those providers cannot stay forever. After some time, they have to go back to their home, to their families, to their jobs, and to their communities and carry on. So what happened to these patients? Or what happened to a patient that you see in a short-term mission trip, maybe having a chronic disease, COPD, diabetes, heart problems, but you see them for one visit, probably help them with medication for a month or a couple months, but then what? If there's no continuity of care, if they don't leverage that continuity of care, that patient, and in fact, in the case of Haiti, we saw many more patients who actually were dying of preventable causes months after the earthquake because there was not follow-up or continuity of care. So medicine is an expensive endeavor. It is expensive to become a clinician. It takes a lot of time and money and effort and dedication and sacrifice, maybe. but also delivering that care in the medical missions field is also very expensive. It's expensive to travel if you're a short-term missionary. It's expensive to close down practice, not work for a couple weeks, maybe a month, and all of that. So we all would benefit if we can actually leverage systems to help patients actually receive that care and benefit from it in the long run. And this is where technology can actually help us break that gap. And one use case can be, after coming from a short term, you can actually help continue care for certain patients in that manner. Remote consultations for both missionaries, and missionaries also need to receive care, whether they are physicians, clinicians themselves, or other type of missionaries, and patients. Continuing education is one use case we've seen being used a lot as well. Knowledge sharing around the globe, whether it's with counterparts, such in the case of Consul Bridge, or also with indigenous providers in their home countries who might also be able to augment or supplement their skill set with subspecialties or other information that they can use on the field. Challenges for providers and patients. Inadequate information technology infrastructure, I mentioned, is one. Language barriers, educational barriers can also be used and leveraged with technology. Economical and logistical barriers is one that we can bridge the gap with access to quality care. And like I mentioned, there's plenty of harvests, there's fewer workers, and we can access more and give quality care remotely or virtually. And I mentioned already maximizing the gift of healthcare, managing demanding job schedules, high traveling costs, and moving output from output to patient outcomes. And that's a very important piece. Oftentimes, you can ask a lot of medical missionaries, well, do you keep any records? How do you track? Do you do an analysis? How do you actually know your patients got better? Well, there's eyeballing it. Well, we see them last month. We saw them 6 months later. They're doing better. But also you can use technology to actually do this more efficiently. Now I'm going to turn over to Hal, who will talk about data and research.
Right, thanks, Roosevelt. So what I want to do now is take us through just some of the evidence. You know, there's a question of, does this work? And there is some evidence now to look at telehealth. And I would just say, as we've noted by our hands before, that this is from the pre-COVID era of, like, what is this and does this work, to now in the post-COVID era, an accepted medium of delivery of healthcare, right? I think we can see that widely across our practices today. So let me just show you some studies and a little bit of a survey that we did that I think highlights both the some of the outcomes as well as some of the need. Here's a study that's interesting. It's from Family Practice. It's a systematic review from Monash University out of Australia, and I apologize, the type is maybe a little bit hard to read, but basically it looked at all of the studies. This is from 2021, looked at all of the studies looking at the effectiveness of teleconsultations in primary care. And so what they found was that teleconsultations via, so they use telephone or video conference, and we call this synchronous interactions. There's the asynchronous interactions, which can be through text messaging, or synchronous interactions via telephone or video conference. And they basically found that, from the review, that it's an effective alternative to face-to-face consultations for many patients attending primary care and particularly mental health services. They found that it was time efficient, it was a lower cost intervention at a distance while improving access to healthcare. So this is looking at all of the studies pre-21 and kind of trying to sum all that information together. Now, more recently, just last week in the Annals, or last month, I would say, in the Annals of Internal Medicine, this interesting study came out. And this actually is a study from Kaiser, and it looked at like 1.6 million patients, a retrospective review looking at kind of various outcomes. And basically what they found was very similar, that ongoing telemedicine use is fairly effective in having limited return office visits, low emergency visit rates, very low hospitalization rates compared to office visits. So we can kind of imagine how that would work in our practices, and the evidence is now coming out after kind of a years of doing this. People are starting to pull studies together. We'll see a lot more of these studies coming out, I'm sure, shortly. Okay, so this is the U.S. context. What about kind of in the world, right? Are there studies, there was a systematic review from Australia, but I would just show you the concept, like proving the proof of concept. I would point to actually an organization that you may or may not have heard of, which is called the World Telehealth Initiative, and it's actually run by my friend and colleague Sharon Allen, and it's in the secular space. And basically what they do, and this has been running for years, it's actually, it's been supported now, and there's a lot of interactions with the UN and the WHO, and I would recommend that if you have a moment, just check out their website. But what they've been doing for years now is connecting specialists from around the world via telemedicine to folks in low resource areas. And they have thousands of physicians, right, that volunteer their time to support, a very variety of clinics. And I'll just show you, we often going around the exhibitor hall, we see kind of maps in all the different places. This is their map. They have something like 35 clinics or hospitals that they support in low resource areas, even in, for example, the Ukraine. During the war there, they brought on a number of trauma surgeons to help take care of folks during the war. And I think they had clinics in Poland, they had some clinics in the Ukraine, and so very effective, right? And so as a proof of concept, right, I think this is certainly one organization that highlights how this can be done effectively, basically harnessing the expertise of thousands and thousands of physicians who want to support, and then being able to leverage that resource and the technology platform to support right now 35 or 40 kind of clinics and hospitals around the world. And they actually hold clinics. It's like, here's the clinic time, here's the, it's this hours, and people come in. And they use what we call a doctor-to-doctor-to-patient model. So the doctor meets with the doctor, provides an educational exchange, and then the patient may be there or may not be there. So again, it's called worldtelehealthinitiative.org. If you have a moment, you can just look it up, and it's a fascinating example of how things can work, we call this the secular space, but why not in missions, right? Why couldn't we do this in missions? So let me just share with you a survey that we had the privilege of doing to look specifically now more at the medical missionary space, if you will, in the faith-based space in Christian. And I wanted to thank, there's so many folks, and CMDA and many, many organizations helped us poll and send this out, so really wanted to recognize and thank them. So we did this survey earlier this year, and let me just run through it a little bit. We had 88 respondents, and sorry, this text is small, but you can see that these respondents kind of came from all over the world. A good portion were family medicine in blue, nurses, pediatricians, speech therapists, internal medicine. So about two-thirds were, what you might consider primary care physicians around the world at the front line. And what did folks tell us? Again, I apologize, this is a little bit small text. But we asked them currently, what do you do if you need access to medical specialists that may not be immediately available in your practice area? And 80%, maybe this is not surprising, said they would contact their own specialist personal network. 50% said they would seek a specialist at the academic medical center. A third said specialist in the local area. They might refer out of country. About 20% said they wouldn't look for a specialist. I presume that meant that they would try to manage it themselves, right? And then about 15%, 20% said they could use an email consult service if that was available. When we ask folks, would having access to a virtual consultation platform that connects you to a vetted network of medical specialists be helpful? I mean, 95% said yes, right? And so so I think the need is there. Like, people would love to have something like that available. Using a virtual consultation platform, what consultation communication method would you prefer? Again, this goes back to the asynchronous versus the synchronous, right? Do you want a video visit, a telephone call, or do you want to use some kind of chat messaging kind of app? The top number is that most people would prefer asynchronous, so maybe not at the same time, but they would use synchronous About a third said both would be fine. Some would prefer synchronous, right? So it can give you a sense of what modality is most convenient and would be used by people at the front line. We also asked, for example, what specialty would be most useful? Again, this is hard to see. We asked people to select up to five. I'll tell you the top six are dermatology, cardiology, neurology, radiology, pediatrics, and psychiatry. I don't know if that resonates with you, but I've heard time and time again, we need a dermatologist. We need a dermatologist. We just need somebody to take a look at this picture, right, and tell us what this is, right? So this gives you a sense of where folks are, at least out of these 88 folks, in terms of what they need. What kind of items they have access to. So, you know, perhaps not surprisingly, almost everybody has a smartphone, everybody has a computer. The question of high-speed internet access, 50% said that they have high-speed internet access. Now, we didn't define what that is, but that gives you a sense of the infrastructure deficits across kind of globally, right? That half have said that they have high-speed internet access. And then what would they prefer to submit consults on or conduct a video visit, right? And primarily we learned about the computer, their phone, less so on tablets. Excuse me. And then the last question just was like, what is the time frame? How soon do you need an answer to your question if you were going to submit some? And about a third said within one day. We were speaking to a gentleman yesterday who had a lot of inpatient acute medical issues. We need something today to know what to do. But the bulk of folks said within 3 days, like that's a reasonable, right? So any system that's built should be at least built to try to respond, kind of get responses within 3 days. Is kind of how we're going forward with this. So that's just a kind of a lay of the land in terms of some of the data out there, some of the needs. And now what we want to move to kind of in the final section of this talk is like, what can we do about this? Like, what are some kind of examples of applications that kind of start to address these needs and gaps? And we're going to talk about two today, and there are many, but the two specific examples as use cases. One is this console bridge, which connects folks, kind of a narrow specific use case. And then something called Cross One or Cross Clinic, which is kind of a more broad platform of using technology. So I'm going to turn the time over to Jeff, who's going to take us through a discussion of Console Bridge.
All right. So thank you, Hao. Yeah, so we took the survey results, and we wanted to create a product that medical missionaries could use that would be helpful. So we founded Console Bridge. And the goal of it is to support and try to augment the work of the frontline medical missionary, especially those folks who are serving in low resource areas, maybe more isolated in smaller clinical settings. So as you guys saw in an earlier slide that Hao presented, approximately two-thirds of medical missionaries are who are serving overseas are generalists, ER docs, or family med docs, pediatricians, right? And even specialists like an OB doctor could probably use some help from a cardiologist every once in a while for complicated cases and things like that. So, yeah, there's definitely a need for subspecialty consultations. Yeah, and for folks practicing, I don't know, for some, I've been in practice about 13 years. I remember when I just came out of residency, it was super helpful to be able to ask a colleague next door what they thought, just be able to text somebody. But those who are practicing in like low resource areas and small clinical settings, you know, it can be kind of isolating. Yeah, it's like not having somebody to just bounce an idea off of. Yeah, so the Console Bridge telehealth platform is a way we can try to create a bigger network for these folks to give them access, right? Some of us folks have large personal networks and some of us don't. And, you know, to try to bring together the body of Christ and make those connections, make those, bridge that gap for folks, that's what we're trying to do. So, yeah, as Roosevelt also mentioned in the beginning of the talk, the threshold for getting folks onto the field is quite high as well. And for those of us who are in practice, you know, taking out 2 weeks of vacation time, leaving our families, or just paying for the travel costs, you know, those the threshold to go can be quite high. And so, and for many folks like myself, like, you know, there's reasons, our heart is there on the mission field, but for different reasons, we're here still. Not because we don't want to be engaged in kingdom work, but there's just family circumstances, educational debt, different real barriers that we're working with. So yeah, the idea of console bridges, the other idea, purpose is to try to lower that threshold, to make it easier for folks to get engaged in meaningful kingdom work using their unique clinical skills, right? Like to have a dermatologist go somewhere and maybe use their dermatology skills, but probably end up using a lot of their internal med or kind of primary care skills most of the time. You know, you could argue that, yeah, that if they were able to use their dermatology skills to serve like the whole continent of Africa with specific questions that they're uniquely trained and God gifted to answer, like, it just seems much more high impact and low cost, right? So, so yeah, just to give you guys an idea of what the platform looks like, you know, we are building this out more. And so this is just an example from the platform. This is a profile of a provider. So once somebody creates a login, they fill out a profile. And most folks with a, well, you can use a computer or a smartphone to see that we've designed it to make it fit on those devices, but it can be used on other like, tablets as well. But you can see the profile or information about a provider there. And then for medical missionaries who want to submit a request, there's a request page where yeah, they select which specialty they want, give a case and the clinical question they're asking, and they submit it. And it automatically goes to the folks on the consultants on the other side who are of that specialty, and the two are connected. Currently, the conversation is happening offline, and so folks use an alternative means of communication to connect. The hope is, yeah, and we're working toward bringing that online to create asynchronous and hopefully down the line synchronous options for users. So we just soft launched the platform a few weeks ago, and we currently have 8 medical missionaries and 5 specialties for them to consult with. So we're constantly growing the network. We're praying and asking the Lord to bring the folks, bring the body of Christ together. You know, it's the Lord's work that's going to move in people's hearts to serve in this way. We know it's a model that works. You know, we are not driven by compensation. It's a free service, but we think the Lord wants to use it to bring the body of Christ and together in a powerful way. So, yeah, and if. Yeah, if the, I liked in Susan Post's plenary session that he's saying that yeah, you're not called to go, but it's a beckoning to come. And so, yeah, so if any of you are feeling beckoned to come on this journey with the Lord, you know, you guys can get engaged right now with the kingdom work. It's not necessary to wait until you can physically go. We're trying to create a way where folks can get engaged now right from where you are. Yeah, so if you guys are interested, you can check out the website. It's consolebridge.org. Anybody can sign up to be a user. We do have a vetting process, but once you're on, then yeah, you can use the site. So we're going to have some postcards up front, and feel free to email and ask questions. So yeah, I'm going to turn over to Roosevelt, who's got another use application where it's much more broad. We're very just focused on consultations, but I'll let Roosevelt share about Cross Clinic.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Hal. I think I saw one or two hands up for questions. We'll have some time at the end, and we'll be glad to take your questions. Also, if you're joining us online, if you have any questions, please post them in the chat, and we can address those as well. So it's right about 40 minutes past the hour, and depending on where you wake up normally, it probably you're just stretching out. Do you want to kind of wake up? Yes, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Now, I like to go on long runs in the morning, so join me outside the main doors after at night. All right. Yeah, we'll be ready. Okay. Jeff just talked about the console bridge as a platform where we are aggregating mostly subspecialties to augment, like we say, and supplement underfield generalists or providers that may need that extra assistance. As we mentioned earlier, the CrossOne platform is it's not an organization; it's more of an alliance. And what we do is we build software. But the corpus of this software is creating a platform to help integrate the various systems and platforms like Console Bridge and others that might be missionaries can use or medical missionary providers can use. And part of the reason is one of the barriers that we heard from folks a lot was, but where do I start? I would like to use telehealth. I would like to use technology. I don't know, what do I use? Do I use Facebook Messenger? Do I use, FaceTime? How do I make all these pieces work? So we thought, well, why don't we kind of come together and create this group and that can integrate the various systems that are out there. Most of you are probably already using systems like this. How many of you here use a Google product? Gmail, Microsoft? Yeah, you're already using these kind of systems. And all they do is if you have a Google account, a Gmail, within a click of a button, you click an icon, and you could use Google Slides, which is like a PowerPoint. And you could use another system like spreadsheets, or you can go further, drives. So all these are microservices built by Google, and you create one account, you log in, and then you get to pick a la carte or a buffet which services that you can utilize. So something similar to bring down the barrier of entry so that you are busy people. You are under clock 24/7 as medical missionaries. You don't have the time to go out and vet and find out, okay, well, how many pieces do I need to concate together here to get to what I'm trying to do? So what this group is trying to look to do is be able to bring the EMRs, the telehealth platforms, the bank of the subspecialties, and connect them together already for you, where you can just go ahead and log in, and you'll be able to utilize these services. So we built a series of APIs to help integrate with that. Now, I won't go into technical details, but we do it in safe and secure way. Data information is not shared broadly without your consent in the policies of various applications. But this is to accelerate mission-driven technologies and application systems in the medical mission field to make it quicker, easier for you to not only onboard, but also utilize these systems broadly. Like I mentioned, the API application programming interface to unify the community to increase the adoption of technologies and medical missions. It can handle things like authentication. For those of you in the software world, you know of SSO, single sign-on, APIs, data sharing, user management. And also, we are available to provide technical expertise to help you either develop or launch your own system. Some of the folks, even in this conference in the past year, past several years, we've helped either their ingrown systems or not, or just provide the expertise that we might have in various fields. The Cross Clinic platform, Hal mentioned that, is a use case of how EHR, telehealth, EMR systems can integrate with other kind of systems. So I won't go into a demo, but what I'll show you is kind of an integration between a social application used in the medical mission field and a cross-clinic for to facilitate telehealth consult. So what you're looking at here is a screen inside of this social application, which is kind of like a Facebook group, Facebook for missionary groups in communities. And integration with a cross clinic in there is the providers in the field are able to create requests for a teleconsult once their accounts are integrated with cross clinic. So inside of this app, they can load up patient and information that they might need and request a certain specialty or a provider remotely for assistance. And the screen you're actually looking at is the confirmation screen in that particular application, or where you can see the confirmation number, you can see the specialty here, cardiology, date, and its time. It's time zone sensitive as well, and the consultant and all. And then it provides you link and information on how to actually join that consultation. These folks are not using an EMR. They're not using a telehealth platform. It can be a teacher in a remote area. It could be a pastor in a community. It could be a community social worker. It could be anyone on this platform who needs and have a need for health consultation. So long that they have a partner who is using Cross Clinic, they could make that request to them. And then on the other side here is how the clinician on the other end would receive it. They can take notes. They can share it with other clinicians in the organization. And they also have a means of either via text, instant message, voice over, or video call to provide that consultation based on their previously agreed method with the requester. Before we conclude, we also want to acknowledge that there are many folks who have been in the last few years working in this field and trying to make technology more available and more efficient in medical missions. We'd like to acknowledge Lori. Lori is here. Some of you might have seen her booth, the Backpack EMR. I remember the first many years ago when we first talked. We're like, man, we're like pioneer. We feel like Daniel Boone in this endeavor here. It's come a long way. I'd encourage you to stop by Backpack EMR. It's an EMR system. I will not butcher it, but Lori can tell you a lot more about it as well. I think she's on first floor downstairs on the far left. In conclusion, well, let's take some questions first. How about that? Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, so when you're this is for Gaston.
Yes, go ahead.
When you're vetting, one of the things that, so as part of your vetting, you're looking at quality of care, but also needing to understand resource limitation.
Right.
In other words, if I talk to a neurosurgeon in America, and it's like, what can we do? Well, in a recent case that I did, was somebody with cerebral palsy, dislocated hips, fracture, all this, it's like resource limitation. So are they vetted on that or trained on that?
Yeah, so I think...
Repeat the question.
So the question was, if folks who are being signed on as consultants are vetted based on their experience and kind of the clinical setting that they're practicing or their experiences situated in, is that right?
Well, it's
familiar with low resource areas. Yeah,
Areas.
So, the profile creation page asks for people's experience with overseas work, just to kind of get an idea of their experience and what they're coming in with. So, it's easy to think that consultants, need to come from high-level academic institutions, but you guys are recognizing also that it's often maybe possibly more helpful if somebody who's been on the field for 20, 30 years, who's seen a lot, understands the restrictions and limitations of a clinical setting, a cultural setting, and those folks would actually be very helpful as consultants. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would just add to that in that we're trying to get at that with this idea of tell us what your experience is. And so it's kind of hard to judge a little bit, right? But I think as we refine, you can see that we've just kicked off, right? And as we refine that model, right, we'll get a better sense of like who is actually the most appropriate. And as you said, it's not the person necessarily in the ivory tower who has resource to gamma knife and everything else that they can do, right? But it's like how do you actually apply it in the field? So it's great, something that we will be, you know, continue to develop towards.
So following up on that, just let's say this grows nicely. At one point you have 10 dermatologists on your list, and I send in a dermatology question request. Do you envision that sort of pushing out to all 10? Will you sort of pick one in order, and or will I at some point say, you know, I've worked with this one before and I really liked
the way that it's done. We can have like ratings. Stars. This is a 5-star dermatologist. No, I can take it. I mean, so I think we are working through that model. Right now, you know, it's like, okay, who's on it? But the idea is that because you're there's a few factors. One is timeliness. So if it goes out and now they're 10, we want to get it done within one day, within 3 days. Who's available? You know, your favorite 5-star dermatologist may be on vacation for 2 weeks and you'll never hear back. So one of that is if we have a good group, what we'll do is we put it into the group, and whoever reacts first, we'll pick it up. In the future, as we get more sophisticated, it may go certain. Like you may say, it's not urgent and I want to, you know, or there may be other algorithms, but right now we want to make sure that we can at least respond in that timely manner. So.
Sort of related to that, how do the person who's placed in the consult know that the consult has been received by a provider versus, like, if it hasn't been received, then I don't know if they have a read receipt, should I go seek a consultation through my own personal network or somewhere else in the country?
Right. So yeah, we're trying to automate that if somebody submits a consult request, like how do they know it got received and what's happening if they don't hear back? They should just seek help elsewhere. Yeah, the status of the consult request. So yeah, we're trying to automate all that. So right now, when the case is submitted, there's an email that gets sent out automatically to those who are of that specialty, encouraging them to come back on and review the case and click accept if they want to take it on. There's a algorithm to, after a couple days, like 2 days, if there's no action taken, then there's another email reminder, and then it gets sent to both sides. Yeah. And in the future, I mean, we're working on algorithms to automatically pass that on to the next consultant available. Yeah.
I've worked with, and y'all may be familiar with Connecting Kids with Care, and they have a kind of a similar format where you communicate, you send in a consultation. My question is about the records that are kept, because some of the kids I worked with them were continuity, they were endocrine patients that were going to, you know, growth hormone deficiency, and so we needed to, you know, have continuity. They kept a record, and so once I created on their kind of a rudimentary EMR, it wasn't robust and meant to be like your EMR for your whole practice or your whole bunch of people that you take care of, but for that consultation, you created a file with a profile, you know, put in pictures, yep, and any other data, lab values, whatever you need to upload, and then that stayed with them. So next time we circle back through, are both, I guess really this is the question for both cross-platform and then across one and for storage as well, yeah. Is that kind of the model, or is it a hit, you know, kind of email one at a time, or is it maintain a record for that continuity?
The question is, if you send a consult and through either of the platforms, whether the record stays with the patient, there's record that's kept and it can be shared for follow-up visits. In the case of Consult Bridge does not keep records of the patient. So it is a peer-to-peer, and the connection right now happens outside of the platform, but there's no sharing of the patient information. In the case of Cross Clinic, you would have implemented this system with between you and your endocrinologist in your case for the peds, and that data would be on Cross Clinic, and you would have control over it just as if like any other EMR that you'd be using, and you could give access to any other providers that you onboard into the system as well. So a Cross Clinic case is more of a EMR telehealth a system, whereas Consult Bridge supply you the subspecialty that you can consult with as a provider in the field.
And keeping records would be on you with whatever you took from that.
Yes.
Interaction, you would just make a note.
Exactly. If you use both platforms, yeah. If you use both platforms, the records of that consultation could be stored in Cross Clinic while you're talking with a provider on Consult Bridge.
One thing, maybe I'll just add to that. One thing is that you can see where this is, like how this can move forward, right? There's these platforms we can integrate, we can have multiple functions. One of the areas that we, you know, certainly storing, having continuity of care, for example, on this Consult Bridge is something that we, you know, we want to have in place, right? The idea that you can go back. There are a lot of, you know, regulations worldwide about storage of data, where our servers, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff that we just have to be sensitive to. So as a step-by-step, as we're moving forward, thinking through those so that we make sure that we're doing things in a proper way is going to be is really important. But yes, in the, as we move forward, the idea of, you know, you get on, you get a consult, you can see what's been going on, whether that's on the Cross One platform or another platform, or, you know, integrated long-term continuity of care. So it's not just a one-off siloed thing is definitely where we're going. So, yes. Yeah, I can. It's a great question. The question of like, you know, the regulatory and compliance, and a few things. For example, we've learned a lot from the World Telehealth Initiative, and they've been kind of the forefront. And the way they do it, it's a very workable model. It's doctor to doctor, educational exchange, right? And so, and then the person who is at the front line is ultimately responsible for the care. Right, it's just like I speak to my friend, who's a cardiologist at Mayo Clinic, and then, well, it's not like, you know, I still have, I'm a doctor, I can incorporate, I can decide that's good or not good for my patient, and I make that decision. So technically, at a high level, the way that we are seeing it is as an educational exchange. Somebody has expertise, they're coming through, we do not do, at least at this point, We do not do doctor to patient. Like I'm here and I'm taking care of somebody in Kenya, because that is, there's a lot of issues with that. That type of, if you want to look at it, you know, black and white, that's probably not actually acceptable, right? But a doctor speaking to a doctor to talk about a case or a general, you know, question about something. This patient has congestive heart failure. What am I, you know, what in this case, what would be reasonable options? That's very acceptable. Right? So, yeah. Yes, Sherry. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
We haven't implemented that yet. But.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys heard the question. Yeah, is that if there's a way the person submitting the consult request can say what they have and don't have. Yeah. And so, during the in the profile creation phase, there is also an area where we're asking, like, yeah, it's a good place to share about your limitations and what you have and don't have, so that when the profiles are shared, you can see kind of before you talk to them, like, what their context is. Yeah.
All right. All great questions. Thank you so much. Sure, let's take one.
This is real quick.
Yeah.
This is for Consult Bridge also.
Go ahead.
As we look at, you know, developing this network, I can see where, you know, I guess the questions are really specifically for Christian specialists, or is this, you know, philanthropic specialist? I mean, it just seems like a good place to bring people in who you would like, okay, they don't have a real heart.
Yeah.
They have a heart for, not patients,
right,
but they have a heart for
for service. Yeah, that's a great question. We've had this conversation. I mean, right now the use case is to help medical missionaries at the front line. So it's to support that specific population. On the other side, the other side of the question was, does it have to, you know, does it have to be a Christian consultant, or, you know, and the idea here is that we don't, we've said that no. We want to be upfront about what we're doing, so people know that you're helping somebody who's a medical missionary in a low-resource area. But we feel like this is a mobilization effort, both for Christians who want to use their skills to serve, you know, so in some way, as well as an opportunity. Somebody has the heart and they want to come and support somebody. Why not, right? You know, so that's, we try to be clear about that. That's right. Yeah, our personal networks as the includes non-Christians. So,
let's take a last question over here.
It would be great to include non-kingdom specialists, but there is a little bit of a concern that I have for those of us that are in extremely restricted access countries.
Yes.
To be known as a and so a non-Christian specialist who thinks he's dealing with me as a...
Okay, that's a great... I would just add one final comment is the question of sensitive, limited access, kind of creative access nations, and how, and we've been thinking through that. We would love your thoughts on this. Like, how can we put it in a way that is usable, accessible, does not put people in danger on the front line? That's not what we want, obviously, at all. So we've called, for example, we don't call people missionaries. We call them field workers. Yeah. Right, in the app, right? And that's kind of like, maybe that's acceptable. But there's things that we've been thought through to make sure that it's usable around the world. So.
And I would add, we even talk about in the future, probably in the near future, of where you can actually have where you're not revealing who you are in the platform. For various reasons. So I think there are ways to manage that. So just in wrapping up, telehealth is here and now a widely accepted medium of healthcare delivery. I think we've established that, and we hope that you will look in ways and use cases you can leverage it in your own practices and missions. Telehealth should, like we mentioned before, augment, not replace, in-person healthcare delivery. That is a very important point. And there are many telehealth use cases that can benefit medical missions. You hear of some here today. There's plenty around you also that you can tap in. We would love to hear from you. This is how you can reach us. You can scan this QR code. Please fill out your review cards. We appreciate you joining us in this cold Kentucky morning at 8 a.m. You are champions, and go and make kingdom workers, and may God bless you all for what you do. Thank you. Thank you.